Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Hannah is one of the great women of Scripture, and as I was studying it, and especially chapter 2, her prayer this week, I realized that there's Psalms of David that he actually models after Hannah's prayer. And the first reading we had today was the Magnificat of Mother Mary, and even her prayer is a model after Hannah's prayer as well. She is only mentioned really in 2 chapters of Scripture, but she influences quite a bit of it. And her son Samuel becomes one of the great prophets and the last judge of the Old Testament. She's a fantastic character. But the world in which she is found is a very sorrowful one and a very difficult one. And it's a world that is best described by the very last verse in the book of Judges, because this is the time frame in which this book Samuel takes place. And the last verse in the book of Judges says this: "In those days, everyone did what was right in his own eyes." Now, I know sometimes we might give advice to a person saying, well, you got to do what's right for you. You got to do what you think is right. And that's okay advice to give. But here, this assessment, everyone did what was right in his own eyes, is not a good one. Because what is meant by this is that if you're doing right by your own eyes, it means you're not doing right by God's eyes. And in fact, towards the end of Judges, as we lead into 1 and 2 Samuel and the time frame that takes place, the world of the Israelites is chaos. They're having infighting and civil war amongst them. One of the judges sacrifices his own daughter, and it's just a terrible scene. There is no king, and people are doing right in their own eyes. It's a world that is full of abuse, full of wrong, full of sorrow, full of sin. It's a survival of the fittest type of world. And thrown into that, we have the story of Hannah, and her story reflects kind of the world at large. Now, her family is a little bit different than a lot of the family of the Israelites at this time. Her family still goes to worship the one true God at least once a year at this temple called Shiloh. And as they go there is where our story begins with Hannah. She is one of two wives. And anytime you see that in Scripture, you know that something bad's going to happen. Now, she is one of two wives. Her co-wife, whose name is Peninnah, has lots of children. She's been blessed with children. But Hannah has not. And in fact, the way that 1 Samuel describes this to us is that the Scripture actually says that the Lord closed her womb. She's unable to have kids. Now, in an ideal world, Hannah's co-wife Peninnah would be understanding. She would be empathetic towards Hannah. Maybe she would take her alongside her and be sorrowful with her and mourn with her and pray with her and try to be an encouragement to her. But this isn't in an ideal world. Instead, Hannah's co-wife, Peninnah, mistreats her. She abuses her. She bullies her and torments her. The Scripture says that she provokes her and that she's a rival to Hannah. She derides her and makes fun of her. She holds her high position as a wife who is able to give her husband children over Hannah and makes Hannah, who already feels low, even lower. This causes Hannah in our scene in 1 Samuel as she goes to pray at the temple, to go up and stand before the priest and pray. And Scripture describes it that she has bitterness of soul. Her soul is so bitter and she is weeping so hard that as she's praying, Eli the priest actually thinks that she's drunk as she's praying. But she tells him, "No, my Lord, I'm just in pain. I'm just bitter. I'm hurt." Her co-wife Peninnah is proud. She's arrogant. She's deriding. She's provoking. And she probably sees nothing wrong in what she's doing. She's doing right in her own eyes. It's a survival of the fittest type of world, and Peninnah is surviving. This morning we ask ourselves, as we often should whenever we read a scripture, whenever we read a passage, where am I in this story? Who am I? And it's okay to ask ourselves, how am I like Hannah? But we also have to ask ourselves, how am I like Peninnah? Do I mistreat people, treat them as less than they actually are? Do I treat them less than how I want to be treated? If so, then I'm like Peninnah. Do you turn your eyes, your heart away from those who are in pain and in sorrow? Do you dig or jibe at the pain that others are experiencing? Do you bully? Do you tease, even though you think it might just be a joke? Are you proud? Are you arrogant? Whether it's shown only on Facebook or in real life. Do you trust in your own strength rather than trusting in the strength of God? Do you forget to give Him thanks for the things that He has given you? At some point in our lives, in our hearts, we have Peninnah in us. We have arrogance, we have pride, we have self-trust, just as she does. Hannah bitterly prays, lays her distressed soul before the Lord, and the Lord hears her prayer. The Lord gives her what she is asking for. He gives her Samuel, this son. And in that, then, she gives thanks to the Lord. She fulfills her vow, and she dedicates Samuel to service to the Lord. And as she does so, she also gives this wonderful prayer of thanks. And her prayer, frankly, it should frighten us as much as it gives us hope. Because it's an honest prayer. It's a harsh prayer. Like many of the Psalms, it doesn't mince words about who God is and how He feels about the human sinful heart. We see in this prayer of Hannah's that nothing is hidden from God. The literal language says that God is a God of knowledge, and it means that He knows the heart of individuals. We can't hide how we truly feel from God. And He judges us according to what He sees in our hearts, not what we pretend to have in our actions. Our hearts are exposed to Him. We hide nothing. We also see here that God is not afraid to flip things around, that those who are dependent on their own wealth, on their own strength, God is going to turn the tables. God is a God of reversal. Look at verses 4 and 5. God says, or the Hannah prays, "Our Lord, You break the bows of warriors, but You give strength to everyone who stumbles," or to the feeble. "People who once had plenty to eat must now hire themselves out for only a piece of bread, but You give the hungry more than enough to eat. A woman did not have a child, but You gave her 7. A woman who had many was left with none." Hannah's prophesying here. She's seeing how God is going to make things right someday, as He made it right in her own life. That God is going to judge the wicked and bring them low, and bring those who are low exalted and lifted up and high. The high and mighty abusers of our world, both big and small, they're in for it. The sinfulness, the wickedness of our hearts, the penna that lives within us, it's in for it. But Hannah's prayer also gives us hope. In verse 10, she looks forward into the future. She lives in a land that has no king. Yet she prays and says, "You will judge the whole earth and give power and strength to your chosen king." She looks forward to the future when her own son will anoint King David. And even farther into the future yet, where out of the line of David will come Jesus himself. The literal language she uses here is that the Lord has a Messiah. And we know that Messiah to be Jesus the Christ. Hundreds, thousands of years before Jesus comes, she is looking forward to the Lord's answer. Because it's through Jesus, the anointed one of God, that the world truly is flipped around. And it starts in Jesus himself, right? What greater reversal can you have than the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, who has always been taking the form of a low human being? And not only that, but being taken to the cross, killed, being buried in a grave. And as we see here in verse 6, Hannah prophesies again, "You take away life and you give life. You send people to the grave, you bring them back again." God begins his reversal of this world and his defeating of wickedness and evil in Jesus. Jesus is God's great reversal. He is killed. He is brought back to life. He has gone to the grave. He is raised up. And he does so that our lives would be flipped as well. So that the penina in us would be beaten down and we would live more like Christ. So that we might not trust in our own strength, but trust in the strength and the power of the one, as Hannah says, who guides and watches over us. So that, like God, we might care for the lowly, for the poor, for the needy, for the feeble, for the abused. And in God's name, raise them up as God desires to do. Would you pray with me, please? Most holy, most gracious Lord, expose in us our own arrogance, our own pride. Help us to see and be convicted of those times that we are like Peninnah, when we are abusers of those that are low, tormentors to those that are beneath us, bullies. Expose this in us. Forgive us too, Lord, and turn us back to you. Help us to have your heart for people as you had a heart for Hannah, to care for those who are in need and who are feeble, who need somebody to stand for them as you stood for us. Empower us to do this, and we pray this in your name. Amen.